I would not live a sinner. I'll tell you the reason why. I'm afraid my Lord might call me, and I wouldn't be ready to die. Now if I was a sinner, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd lay aside my sinful ways and work on a building too.
Good Lord, now.
Whole lot of weeping and a wailing. When the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains.
Lord, they
prayed the prayers too late. I dreamed of a judgment morning. At dawn the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel that stood on the land and sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time no longer could be.
Good Lord, now.
Whole lot of weeping and a wailing. When the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountain.
Oh, they
prayed the prayers too late. The widow was there with the orphans. God had remembered their cries. No sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was in hell with the drunkard, and the man who sold him their drink, and the people who issued them their license, together in hell did sing.
Good Lord, now.
Whole lot of weeping and a wailing. When the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains.
Oh, they
prayed the prayers too late.
Good Lord, now.
Whole lot of weeping and a wailing. When the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains.
All day
pray the prayers too late.
That was Great Judgment Morning by Southern Express.
Good morning, and thank you, as always, for listening to the radio program. For the next half hour, I hope that we can settle into a good portion of Bible study and see what it is that we can learn from God's Word about our New Year's resolutions. Now, you say, well, it's a ways after New Year's, isn't it, Tim? That's right. And so I wanted to wait a little while and get us to reflect upon those things that we may have resolved to do back when the year turned, and then it's about time, as we turn into the springtime of the year, for us to take a stock of how we've been progressing with that. How have you been doing with your New Year's resolutions? Now, actually, what I mean is, how have you been doing with making progress in your life? Because when we make a New Year's resolution, we're actually resolving to make progress in our life in some way, and by the end of the year to have accomplished that progress which we hope to have made. Now, when it concerns some of the resolutions that we may have made about 3 months ago, then you have to ask yourself now, have I made any progress? You see, it wouldn't have been really a good thing for me to talk about this, say, a couple of months ago, because you only had a few days, a few weeks to get it cranked up and started. But after you've gone about the first quarter of the year through, then you can stop and ask yourself, how am I making progress in my life? Now, as we consider these things and think about the progress or the lack thereof, then I want you to think about some passages of Scripture which will give us a resolution for life, which will give us a progress report, if you will, on our lives as we compare it to the greatest commandment that God ever gave. So we begin this morning in our scriptural study in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verses 1 through 7. Now, this passage of Scripture is a part of the Old Testament, and you might be saying, well, Tim, you're a preacher for the Church of Christ, aren't you? What are you doing in the Old Testament? Well, Jesus himself pointed out that this is the great commandment, and it goes right along with the commandment to love thy neighbor as thyself. And this great commandment found in this passage of Scripture will give us a resolution for life which has been good from the beginning of days and will be good all the way to the end of days. And Jesus himself pointed out, you can't get any greater or bigger commandment than this. If you resolved in some way to let this be your guide in this year, and if whatever you have chosen as a goal in life, if you are making progress toward it, and it goes along with this great commandment, then you have done well. If you have chosen something that is going to hinder you from doing what he lists here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, then you chose a bad goal in order to reach. You need to choose something else, and you need to change the direction that your life is taking in this year 2006. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 begins by saying, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Moses was the one commanding here, and he was showing that God had given them certain commandments through him, and he desired for them to fulfill those. The Ten Commandments that he had delivered unto them from the mount, and then the covenant that God was starting out with them as the children of Israel in the Old Testament, he intended them to live it and to do it. And God intends us to hold up under our obligations under the law of Jesus Christ today. So the principles that are laid forth here in Deuteronomy 6 are just as applicable today as they were back then, because we follow under the new life and covenant of Jesus Christ, and that is going to lead us into the paths of everlasting life if we will put God first, if we will follow after the words that we're going to read here in just a few minutes. Now, verse 2 of Deuteronomy 6 says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Now, certainly, this recalls the first commandment with promise, to honor thy mother and thy father. It recalls that if we follow after the way of God, then that starts with being in the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, as we learn from the wise man. We furthermore learn that the beginning of wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord, causes everything else to fall in line. If you made any goals for accomplishing in this year anything that is worthwhile, then it started out with the fear of the Lord and with judgment in mind. And if you put your life in order, and if you set your priorities based upon the fear of God and the wisdom that comes therefrom, then you have done well. If not, then the words that follow aren't really going to take root inside of you because you did not start with the fear of God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. There is no amount of good intention or goodwill toward God that is going to accomplish his will until we actually observe to do it. Both speaking, that is, talking the talk, and walking the walk is always required by God. Then we reach verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 is the beginning of the statement that Jesus referred to as the greatest of all the commandments. It is the statement which, if you have this as a resolution in your life to do this, then every other little resolution, every other specific resolution will fall in line, and it will be accomplished if it is the Lord's will. If it's something good, then it goes along with what I'm about to read you in verses 4 through 6 of Deuteronomy 6. If it doesn't go along with Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, then it isn't worth doing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, telling us to love the Lord our God supremely with all of our being, is the passage that instructs us on a great, great resolution for life. Now, in this year, how have you, in the first part of this year, been drawing closer to God by loving Him more? Can you point to anything that is different so far about this year as opposed to any other year? Can you point to anything this year wherein you have learned something spiritually, wherein you are living better than you lived in 2005? Is there some resolution that you made or some progress toward a goal that you have in life that you are actually accomplishing, or are you just languishing out there and you're living the same as you ever did? God has never been satisfied with the status quo. All of us are sinners in the eyes of God. And if you're not working on the sin that besets you in your life, then God has a problem with you. And you ought to have a problem with yourself. But the beginning of the year was a time for resolutions. And as we take stock now, then we ask ourselves, are we fulfilling our resolutions? Those resolutions should have been to serve God and, first and foremost, to love Him supremely. Now, in this passage, I want you to notice a few things about what the Bible has to say for us. It mentions loving God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Now, he's not trying to pick apart the different parts of us here, our mind and our body and soul and everything and our spirit, and say, well, you know, which part is which and what controls what. Instead, the Lord is putting us together for His service. He's saying that every single part of you is to be devoted unto God. Now, in our devotion unto God, we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6 a similar principle that is laid down in many other parts of the Bible. Before we get to that, I might want to mention to you how the Jews dealt with this passage. The Jews had a funny way of dealing with it. They seemed to think that if you took part of the law of God, like here in Deuteronomy 6, and you put it in a little box or something, which they might have called a phylactery, and you put it on your forehead or around your arm or something like that, and you carried it around with you, then that indicated something about your spirituality. Just like many people today seem to feel that in religion, that there are various things which show that they are religious outwardly, and they feel that that actually does demonstrate that they are a very religious person. For example, they go to church and have their choirs put on special robes. They may have their preacher put on some special garb that looks like he's at some sort of academic graduation. They may have people who are supposed to look distinctive in one way or another who are waiting or serving on people in the congregation, as if this would demonstrate any special level of religiousness or piety above what is generally done by everybody else. Well, of course, nothing like that is seen in all of the Bible. It is the same problem the Jews had. The Jews looked at passages like, oh, well, let's go to Exodus chapter 13. If you're studying with us at home, you have your Bibles with you, look with me at Exodus 13 for a moment. The Jews looked at passages like Deuteronomy 6 and Exodus 13, and they thought, oh, I know how to be religious. I'll be religious on the outside. Now, if your resolutions to serve God this year were about the outside appearance of being religious, then I want you to reconsider those resolutions. Maybe you're not making progress because you haven't actually resolved what you need to resolve. For example, the Jews read Exodus 13, and it said in Exodus 13, starting at verse 7, "Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be any leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt." You all know the story, don't you, about where they were taken up out of Egypt by Moses and the mighty hand of God, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they eventually end up on the borders of the Promised Land. And in the meantime, Moses gives them the Ten Commandments, they make covenant with God, and so forth. And so they're trying to tell their children about what all that God has done for them in the past, and passed down to the children, the teachings of God. "Well, it shall be for a sign unto thee," it says here, "upon thine hand, for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year." Well, the Jews took that, when it says, "a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and from a memorial before thine eyes," they thought, well, I'll literally put it before my eyes. They put phylacteries or things upon their foreheads or before them so that they thought, well, I've got the law with me at all times. I've got either this passage from Deuteronomy 6 about loving God or the Ten Commandments. I've got it right there with me. I know I'm a religious person. Well, that didn't prove anything, of course. Our religiousness, our piety before God, it actually comes from the inside out. And you can't just have the presence of it outwardly and act as if it means anything inwardly. You must first of all dedicate yourself unto God with His fear. You must gain wisdom in service unto God, and we must make progress in our lives to show that the fear of God has promoted us to have a great respect for Him and love for Him that grows as the years go by. Once again, I want to ask you, Are you making true progress this year in your religious lives? Or are you just languishing and not fulfilling maybe some of the good resolutions that you made just a few months ago? Now, let's go over and look at a New Testament passage. I said that there were some in the New Testament which were similar to or companion verses to the one we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The very best resolution that you could have made at all was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. If you were to do that, everything else falls in line, and that is the first and great commandment. In Ephesians chapter 5, we find a passage that goes very well along with that, and it says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Now here we've got about a quarter of the year passed through, and you need to ask yourself, am I making progress? Well, are you? Yes or no? Now, a lot of the times people try to measure progress in their spiritual life the same way that they might try to measure progress on a week-by-week planner at work or something. Well, I made progress in my life because, just like at work, I said that I was going to, you know, organize, as far as work goes, you would say, I'm going to organize, you know, this project and that one and get this one done and that one done. And then you say, oh, yes, yes. But, you know, at work, there's no end of progress or projects that you're going to be doing. You're going to progress from one project over to the next, and the next year is going to be exact same thing. It may be different sorts of projects, but you're always going to have just this endless cycle. Well, in our religious lives, we need to actually make some progress where it's going to be different from year to year, and we're going to actually be able to use the things that we learned one year and apply them to what we do the next year and what we do the one after that and the one after that. I've known of people in the Lord's church that have been in God's church for, you know, maybe 30 years. And yet you don't see in them any more religious piety, any more goodness, any more zeal to serve God, and any more knowledge or ability to serve God than they had when they first were baptized into Christ. Now, where do you read about that in the Bible? You see, you can't have people like that. Not if they're going to be true, Christians and stay faithful unto God. They must be making progress toward the mark and the high goal of Jesus Christ. We are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, I'm preaching to myself as well as anybody else when I say this. As you look at your life right now, if you are not making progress in the truest sense, that is, you're actually going to learn something and do something this year, you're accomplishing something right now that you will use the rest of your life and you're going to build upon it so that you don't have to relearn it and start up that same kind of project or one that's similar to it the very next year or the very next month or whatever, but that you can go onward and upward in service unto God, well, then how can you say that you've made any progress if you're not doing that? Any true progress? Think about it this way. You've got a person in the Lord's church, and maybe they made a goal of, loving God more, and they looked there at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and they say, well, I want to, go to church more. Well, they start going to church then, and they go to church, and they go to church, and they go to church, but the fact is that they're not really thinking about God any more than they did before. When they get away from the church building, they're not dedicating themselves to any closer relationship with God by private prayer because they don't have any stronger belief than they had before. They may be in a situation where they're in a bad relationship. They don't get out of it. Even though they're going to church a lot more, they're still going to stay in it. They may be in a case where, yes, they're going to church, but when they get to church, what are they doing? They're expecting to sit back and let everybody else do something religiously for them, and they're just taking it in like as if they were watching a show instead of participating themselves in the worship. Now, all of these things show that your goal of going more to church and how that you wanted to show your love for God by doing that, well, you know, all that's good and fine, but you haven't really grown closer to God. Let me show you something that would be a true example of growing closer to God. Someone decides that they want to love God more. And in loving God more, they begin a study right there at Deuteronomy chapter 6. They compare it to what the Jews did and how they tried to apply this passage in Deuteronomy 6, and they say, well, I know that's not right. You can't just carry God's law around with you and expect to be a religious person. You have to actually live it. You have to start with the fear of God. And then they start looking for other passages that go along with this one. And they see that we need to have true and good resolutions for serving God throughout our lives, and we need to be wise people, and we need to make progress in our Christian lives. How am I going to do that? And they sit back and they wonder and they say, well, let's see. If I can learn what the setup of the New Testament is this year, you know, if I can learn what books are about the life of Christ, what books have to do with the history of the New Testament church and the examples of people getting saved, and what books have to do about the work of the church and, you know, the church doing what God wants it to do after it's already formed. If I can learn that, I can use that every year afterward. So the person studies upon their Bible and they say, you know, Lord, I want to dedicate myself to you. I want to be more knowledgeable in your way. And so they really do, with a heart designed to love God supremely because they've set that as their goal and resolution, they really buckle down and they study and they listen and they find out what books they need to go to in order to learn about different examples of Jesus' life and parables, and they find out what books to go to in order to find out examples for salvation, and they apply that to their lives. If they're not yet a Christian, they become one. If they are a Christian, then they get a deeper understanding of conversion, and they begin to share that with other people. And then they look and see how the New Testament church was supposed to behave, and they see if they're a good working part of the New Testament church. And by the end of that year, you see, they have a knowledge that they're going to rely upon for the rest of their lives. The year after that, they don't say, well, you know, I wonder, you know, how God really laid out all the Bible and where he shows me how to live a better life as a Christian. They're going to know what part of the Bible to go to for that. And they're going to zoom right on into that the next year, study on that a little bit closer, and it's going to teach them how that they can be more effective in leading other people in prayer. And then the year after that, maybe they might be able to get more effective in how they give unto the Lord. And you see, they're making progress in their lives, true progress, and not just going on from one project to the next that's just going to reoccur one year after the next without truly loving God more. The Jews thought they could do it on the outside, but they didn't have it deep down in their hearts. And that's why God was constantly complaining about their attitudes and about their lack of obedience, because they would be doing the two-step constantly, and as often as not, it was two steps back instead of two steps forward. Anyway, as you look here in Ephesians chapter 5, it says we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. He goes on to say, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, but which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You see, you start out with that passage in Ephesians 5. You compare it to what we have at the beginning of Deuteronomy 6, and you see what it takes, really, to love God more. Now, if you've been listening to what I said this morning, I want to stop here and summarize a couple of things. If you perhaps have just tuned in, we're talking about the resolutions that you may have made at the beginning of this year. Did you resolve to do anything worthwhile? And if you did, are you making any progress? We've gone through about a quarter of the year now. You should have made some progress. If not, why not? And if you are making some progress, great. I hope it's in a good goal. I hope you have, you know, made some good resolutions and that they all go along with loving God more. How can I love God more? Well, we've talked about starting out with the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. As it says in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. As it says here in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. As we read all throughout the Bible, there is a progress that is from fear to respect to love. I want to love God more. You read in Deuteronomy 6. That's the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. How can I love God more? Well, did you start with the fear of God, and has that led you to have a greater respect for God? Do you understand that He is everywhere? Do you understand now the awesome nature of our Lord? And if you have a greater respect for God, then doesn't that respect then lead to even greater love? Now, doesn't this occur with children under their parents? You know, at first, the child is afraid to be caught by their parents doing something bad. Then as the child begins to understand that the parents want the best for them, then they respect all the work that the parent puts in for that child. And as the child gets older, then They look back upon their lives, and then they actually want to consult the parents and ask them, what their advice is about one subject after another, because they love their parents. They have grown into that love. And we grow into our love one for another and toward God. It starts with a fear of God, which leads to a healthy respect, and then goes on to a true mature love, which we, all ought to have. This is some of the greatest matter of resolutions that we can make for life, loving God, that you could ever do, to start out with the fear of God, lead then into respect, and finally a mature love. Well, there are some other New Testament passages I want us to consider along with this, and I'll kind of leave some of them with you this morning so that you can study on them yourselves. In Matthew chapter 22, in verses 36 through 40, Jesus was asked a question, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." I've already preached to you about that, and let's go on. "The second," Jesus says, "is like unto it." So whenever you say, "I'm going to love God more this year," and if you made that kind of resolution at the beginning of the year to be a more religious person, to accomplish some spiritual goal, and if you're having a hard time getting that goal done, then maybe it's because you said, "I'm going to love God," but you left off what goes along with it. That is love for your fellow man. The second greatest resolution that you could make, the second greatest commandment to keep, is like the first one. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," Matthew 22 and verse 39. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's why this is such a good resolution for life. It encompasses every part of our livelihood. It takes care of my own personal soul. I love God and I want to do His will. It takes care of our fellow man and how we relate to them. I want my relationships to be better. I want everybody around me to know of this God whom I love and who has saved me from my sins. Now, how do we accomplish loving our neighbor as ourselves? For some reason, a lot of the resolutions that people make, and as we look back on the resolutions that we made at the beginning of the year and you see, well, am I making progress toward them? You know, sometimes we're embarrassed because we may have made progress, but all the progress was just for ourselves. It was a selfish progress. Well, I resolved to save up some money to buy so-and-so. And who did you resolve to do that for? It was for you, wasn't it? Well, but I did resolve to pray more and not just in front of people learn how to pray in church. I mean, pray privately like you were encouraging us to do. That's great. That's great. Who was that for? You say that's for your spiritual benefit, isn't it? But Jesus says there's something that goes along with the greatest commandment. It's to love thy neighbor as thyself. So how is somebody else going to benefit from your spiritual resolutions? You need to include other people in the goals that you set in your Christian life. Are you causing others to be drawn unto Jesus Christ as well? If you believe that you're following the Lord in a Christian way, then you ought to be open about that. And we at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ are open about our faith. There's nothing that we want to hide about it. Now you say, well, I don't want to hide anything about my faith either. Well, really, is that really the case? If you don't want to hide anything, then why is it that the church where you go offers nothing as far as Bible study goes? Why do you not encourage other people to study the Bible with you? You see, a lot of people have the attitude of, oh, well, you know, each person will just believe like they want to, and I don't want to really study the Bible with them. I'll just stick with my own little group. Oh, so you're only concerned about the salvation of your own little group. You meet a lot of people every day. You meet people at work. You meet people over at Walmart. You meet people all over the place, don't you? And you have an obligation to these people to reach out with your religion. And that's what we offer at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. We're not trying to be selfish about this. We resolve to help everybody that we can help with the gospel. We reach out with that gospel and try to draw them into the way of Jesus Christ. Now, if there's people who are listening right now to this broadcast, and you want to know how you can be more religious and keep the greatest commandment of God of all, then it is not only to love God personally and draw closer to Him with your own soul, but it is also to reach out to your neighbor and to get them to become spiritually involved as well. It's their eternal soul. That's what's at stake. And so are you doing something to help both yourself and your neighbor this year? Or have you just been going along, no difference, no true progress? Then if that's the case, you need to get down on your knees. You need to pray unto God that you start turning things around right now, because God does give us today. And God has made this day the very best one that you can have to serve Him, to love Him more than you ever have before.